So today is January 20th, 2009, and I think today is special for every one of us. We have a new president. Did any of you watch the inauguration? You watch it, right? And how you feel?
I feel good.
Feel good?
I think for me it began to be about him, like he's always said, this is not about me, it's about us. And to me that remains the main thing, and I thought he emphasized that again today, that it's about us taking responsibility for our communities, for ourselves, for our families. And so it's like trying to imagine what that's going to look like and how to make the most of that without trying to do too much and burning out. So that's where it's from.
So how do you feel, Matt, after you saw the inauguration?
I guess I agree with a lot of that. You know, just watching it, regardless of politics, I think most people would feel like at least 5-10 minutes of unity of, you know, the flags and the parades and the, you know, all that sort of thing. So I think it's good for, you know, whether it's a country or a team or a group, to do big celebrations like that, because everyone shares that event.
You watch it, Cindy?
I did.
You busy, huh?
Yeah, I was working.
And Matt and Steve also busy with school. I watched it, and I think it was nice, and it's given a lot of hope for many people. The last 8 years, many people feel disappointed of our way of government. And now it's give people more hope to move on, you know. And when I watch that, I reflect on the teaching of the Buddha. And, you know, because the teachings of the Buddha are always tool for us to root out all in phenomena. Buddha said that life is impermanent, so it's the same thing as political, up and down. And as a practitioner, we don't let ourselves to pull in that kind of will. We can see the up and down. We experience the up and down, but we don't get pushed into that kind of will. So we have more mindfulness of watching our feeling, how we feel. It's the same thing as our feelings. If you are mindful of your feeling of the whole day, you can see how your feelings change throughout the day. And thus is the Buddha, you know. The same things. Our small world reflects on our big world, you know, collective world outside. And the people come together, I think it's like a collective mind of society. How everybody feel, and how, and that affects our feelings also. And if we don't be mindful, then we can get very easy to pull into that up and down. It's the same thing as, you know, look at the Buddha when he at his time and he's in a caste system, and the caste system is like very conservative and very discriminations and very judgmental. And as a practitioner or as a awakening person, he don't get pulled into that, and he try to watch his emotion and see how that affects him. So he's beyond that. So I think it's beyond that kind of emotions or feelings up and down societies. So when we watch that, we can see how our feelings. Sometimes you, a certain part of speech, you can feel it, and you can feel if that touch you, and you can feel some kind of goosebumps in yourself. And we watch that, and when I watch that, I can see. And he used the four immeasurable. You watch in his speech. I watch his speech very closely. How he used Buddhist words without the religious, without you know, affecting. He's a smart guy. And he used the word for immeasurable happiness. That's his Achieva Buddha. But he's very skillfully using it to bring the happiness to the people. That's what the people are looking for. The four immeasurable happiness. That's because our economy is going down. People feel disappointing and feel angers and feel unpleasant. So he tried to use the term that bring, you know, to collect people back. And with a promise that we can do some things with the support of everybody and the unities of everybody. And he's very clever of using this without, you know, bringing religion into it, and so that everybody can feel the joys and the happiness without feeling hurt that, you know, using any religions. So I watched very carefully with his speech and what kind of language he used. And he tried to use loving speech, you know, to bring people back and collective love for society. So that's why we study our feeling today, you know. Last time we were talking about the body. So, and today we're talking about sensations, feeling. Sensation of feeling is part of our, it's us. And it's something that's around us and in us. So you, when you watch a movie, for example, scary movie, you feel some things and you are identify yourself with that feeling, right? And so scary, or you know, and even you are, you watch a speech, political speech or a lecture, Buddhist lecture, and you have some feeling going on in you, and that at that moment you are that feeling, right? You are that feeling. If you practice as a waking practice, and you know that you are at that moment, you are feeling. So you identify yourself as a feeling, maybe a feeling of excitement. If you are a speech, for example, today, you feel something excites in you, some encouragement in you, some hope in you, hope feelings. So we call, in Buddhism, we call that pleasant feelings. But in the West, in our society, in the West, if we don't practice well, we are trying to marginalize our feeling. I think most people in the West marginalize, you try to ignore your feeling. You run away from your, you call marginalize, marginalize, or you know, put your feeling aside. You don't identify your feeling at all. And that means you are running, we are running away from us, from ourselves. So as a practitioner, we go back to identify our feelings in the present moment. You know, you sit here, you might feel comfortable. The chair, can you, you feel comfortable and you feel relaxed. But someday that your body is not feeling well, so you feel pain in your body. And you don't enjoy at all. Even there is some beautiful things out there, but when the feeling is not pleasant, then you don't enjoy whatever, even like a big gift for you, you don't feel well, especially when you're sick. So some kind of feeling is overwhelming you. If you have a headache or toothache, whatever is come, whatever you try to eat, it's never give you any kind of feelings, or any kind of enjoyment in the eating. So that at that moment, everything is every feeling you feel is overwhelmed by that kind of surrounding. So that kind of feeling is called unpleasant feelings. So if we, for pleasant feeling, if we are not aware of it, for example, if you feel something pleasant is in you, a feeling, and then we overwhelm it and we attach to that, that's normal, like ordinary people. So we call attachment feeling, right? So you will run after that kind of feeling, and you thirst for that. So that is ordinary people, common people. And you die for that kind of feeling. You know? For example, like a feeling of love. So you fall in love with someone, for example. And you always run after that kind of feeling. All of them, you overcome yourself with that feeling. And it's become like an attachment in you. And you are occupied with that all the time. I think more of us have some kind of crush, for example, or you know, feeling of love. And day and night, even in your dream, you attach to that feeling. And it's become a delusion. Even though that person is not there and you make it up, and you hurt that person in your dreams, or you just like create that kind of image. And that you receive that feeling. And sometimes people suicide for that too. Like for example, if you fall in love with someone and someone don't really, you know, love you, you know. And because you attach to that, and you call, and you feel there's some kind of pleasure there. Some kind of pleasure. Attachment, lusting pleasure there. And you can cure that kind of feeling too. And especially of lust, it's very dangerous. If you lust for physical body, that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And it's polluting your mind of that. Once you become attachment, then you don't have a clear mind to think of do other things. Because all your energy go into that direction. And you can't do anything, do any kind of things, dangerous things, to achieve that kind of pleasant feeling state. So as a practitioner, we don't attach to that. And then the unpleasant feelings, for example, is hate or resentment. So if you hate someone, for example, and you feel uneasy, right? The hate kind of feeling, you feel uneasy in yourself. And that can become obsessive in you. For example, some children, they hate their parents. Yes, they hate their parents. And it's become, and they can do anything to prevent that kind of feeling, unpleasant feeling. They don't want to see their parents, for example. And that's why they suicide. Some children, they hate their parents. And they feel like powerless. Because children is always, as a parent, we have more power than the children. And the children, they become powerless. But because of this kind of hate and this kind of resentment is in them. And then they don't know the way to resolve it. You know? And they couldn't find someone to help them. But in our society, these people who are against society, what you call the anti-society, they have kind of unpleasant things kind of that in them. societies, and they can have a hatred feeling toward societies, and they try to lose something to damage the society. And the first thing is they damage themselves. No more that they can damage themselves. And this kind of feeling is always is in us. It's as a sea. If you don't, as a sea, it lies in our subconsciousness. So when there is a right environment, and this is manifest. And once it's manifest, if we don't mindful, then we will be get pulled into that direction. Very easily, very easily. And we get trapped into that direction. So as a practitioner, we just recognize it, come and embrace. And we try to change. The practice is to change the energy, to direct into different directions. So for example, if you are, the lust feelings is arising, what can you do? Yeah? And you have to change the environment right away. Change the environment. For example, you watch a movie that is introduced a lot of lust in you, and it's keep right, and then it's invoke the lust feeling in you, and then you have to change the channel, or either you have to turn off or change the channel, or have to at the moment if you're the best, is to go out take a walk. Why? Because you go out, you take a walk, and you breathe and bring the fresh air in you. And change your thinking at right away. Change your thinking right away. Because once you're thinking, it generates the energy. Once you think something, it generates the energy. If you keep focusing on that and generate that kind of energy, and you keep feeding yourself, and you keep dying to that. So as a practitioner, we have to be aware of those. Because in our environment, a lot of those things around us. For example, if you go to CDs, can be an advertisement. Is that invoke your feeling of that. But at the same time, pleasant feelings can be something that is enjoyable, but it's very, it's healthy feeling. For example. So that kind of unpleasant feeling I'm talking about is unhealthy, right? If you have a feeling of lust, then that is unhealthy. But you have a joy of light in you, for example, when you sit meditation, for example, and at that moment you feel there's some kind of calmness in you, right? And with very calmness and refresh, and a feeling of motivation to walk toward the path of wanting to practice more. Then you have a feeling there, a motivation there. So that kind of feeling is healthy. So it makes you more healthy, physically and mentally, that way. So that's what I call a healthy feeling. So meditations can generate a feeling of joy, for example. When your mind is calm, and clear, and relax, then you have a feeling of joy in you. But that kind of feeling of joy is very nourishing. I say that is a healthy feeling. And if every day you can generate some kind of that feeling, you must be very healthy, mentally and physically. So a feeling of calm. When you feel more calm, and then. And everything becomes fresh at the moment. When your mind is calm and you feel joy with a calm and clearness, and everything has become nourishing, everything has become refreshing. And you have a new look, and insight is born. So when I watched the inauguration, I feel the joy because I see people come together with a big crowd. But it's very peaceful. Not a lot of them. I didn't see any demonstration. When Bush inauguration is there, at the same time, there's a lot of demonstration on the side. And you can see the start out is not very, constructive. already at the moment of start out. You can see the inauguration of Buddha and compare those inaugurations. When I also saw the inaugurations of Buddha and I saw the inaugurations of Brahma today, and I have different feelings in myself at that moment. And that's the kind of feeling you can see, and you can enjoy the collective feeling of the people. So every day we experience the pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling. Every moment, not every day, every moment. You can watch carefully, you sit here and the next moment you feel change right away. If I say something that is destructive, you feel different talk right away. You can feel it and you inside you give rise to some different feeling right away. But if we say something constructive, you can feel the different right away. So feeling is changing every moment, pleasant and feeling. So as feeling as it sees inside you, in your consciousness. So at that moment, and in every moment of life, if you give a little attention to your feeling, how you feel. When your body gets sick, you can see how you feel. Anyway. For example, the feeling of restlessness in you. You know, you can feel right away when you just walk up to the Buddha hall. You can see, you can feel your feeling right away. If you have the feeling of restlessness, then inside you walk in different way, right away. You walk with a push in you. With a push, and push in your heel, in your feet right away. The energy, you watch careful. I watch myself carefully. Sometimes I walk up the stair, I can see there's an energy that pushed me. Kind of restlessness. For example, if we don't come and something that we don't mindful, and then we walk in that way all the time, there's an energy that pushes us all the time. So restless energy or carelessness. So let me talk about unhealthy feeling here. Unhealthy. So restlessness also a kind of unhealthy feeling, because always it pushes you into, it's not there's no calm in you. You feel that you're not rest. And that kind of energy is always in us, always. Just a switch at the moment, you know. If you watch it carefully, it just become calmness, energy, instead of restlessness. And a healthy feeling or pleasant feelings is kind of nourishing and healing. So when you have a feeling of joy and a feeling of calm, a feeling of love, then slowly in your body there's become a healing process taking place in us. So if we can handle our feeling with care, affections, and non-violence, then we can transform that energy into a kind of healing. The process healing is taking place. Yes. So the practice of awakening is the practice of healing, actually. That's healing. Healing our consciousness. So when the Buddha talking about all this, he's talking about very practical things. And it's within in our hand, in touch. So when we're mindful of this and we become very nourishing every moment like that. Every day. So a feeling of unpleasant is like for anger. Anger is unhealthy and is burning in you. You know, when you get angry, and you know that there is reachings, there is burning in you, burning. It's in Buddhism we call anger is like fire. It's fire on you all the time, and it's burn all the good seeds. You know, when we get angry, we burn all the good seeds, and we experience this unpleasant feeling right away. The moments that anger arises in your consciousness, that moment you are burning yourself. Burning yourself. And it creates a lot of destructions. Anger always creates destructions. And wound in you. Yeah. It doesn't matter what kind of anger you use. So as a practitioner, we always... when anger arises or unpleasant feeling arises, we recognize right away. When you recognize it, you are subsided. You don't have to do anything. No, you just say, "Oh, I'm angry." Then right away you know, and then it's at that moment you're able to say that I'm angry or I'm feeling agitation. At that moment you are able to stop it right away because you know it. Know it. Normally you would anger and we don't want to recognize it. And we want to fire more. We want to our anger to be raging. Because when anger arrives and then we are covered up with all kind of illusion already. And we cannot see. So we want to get more angry, you know. And you feel angry is good. You feel it. You don't want to get out of it. And when anger left, and it's left the mark of destruction right away in your heart. And that moment you feel regret, it's too late. It's too late to feel. So the practice is to recognize it right away when it arises. To recognize it right away. That is how all the Bodhisattva does. When unpleasant, when something destructive comes, they recognize it right away. They don't. So they are very careful of the cause. But for us, we are careful of the result. You know, like for example, anger left and then you know, the result is now is damage, you know. A few of damage. And then that now we got to work on it. And that's how awakened people practice. So for example, a callous also, you know, when you're angry, you're callous. You don't care. And then when you're angry, then we don't care. And when we are not taking responsibility at the moment, I don't care. And that's many people say that, I don't care, you know. You don't care for yourself and you don't care for others. So you can do anything. And at 5 minutes later, it's too late to say I'm care. So the Buddha asked us to bring in awareness in every moment of our life. So we don't create too many unpleasant feelings for us. We are the owner. We are the initiation of our pleasant and unpleasant. Just one clicks of thought, and we already start our. So our pleasant and unpleasant very much relate to our thinking. Very much. For example, just skip one thought right away, and then you creates a feeling of unpleasant right away. Just one thought, give rise to one thought, and that unpleasant feeling arise away in us. But if we give to the rise to one pleasant thought, and you get some kind of joyful feeling right away in you. So our practice is to be skillful in our ways of thinking. So that's why the Eightfold Path is start with our right view, right thinking, right way. The Buddha is very skillful so we have our right view, direct our life. And if you keep practice like that every day, your energy will direct you in that path. And if you give rise to a feeling of the pleasant feeling and with the right mindfulness, then you will be, you know, the whole day you will be direct yourself in that way. And many pleasant feelings in you, comfortable feeling. So if you have a comfortable feeling, you have a healthy feeling, comfortable feeling in this chair. But all this feeling is in us, you know. All these feelings, is pleasant and unpleasant, all is in us. So we are the... We are the
owner.
Yeah, you are the owner of this feeling. You are the owner of this feeling. How you want to do that, to go to do about it, it's up to you. So that's why the Buddha say, give the right to all of us. So just the same thing Obama say, it's up to you. You see? I think he's very smart. You see? He's very, it's up to all the people of a citizen of America. So the Buddha, the same thing he say, I'm here to direct you, whether you walk or not, that's the same thing. Obama say that I'm here, and I have good thought, but whether you want to do the same thing together, then we can lead our society to, you know, to go up. So that's why I listen to him very careful of his word, how he does his word, you know. And you can see he meditate too. He meditate. I saw some of his picture. He meditate in the train.
Did he?
Yes. he don't sit like meditate, but he said he very focusing.
Oh, he's so good. Such concentration.
Yeah, you see that. Yeah. Yeah, he's very focused and very concentrated. I saw one of his picture, people emailed to me, and he sit on a train, and he just put it like this, and he's very focused, close his eye, and very focused. So it's a very smart way to carry the work out for the people. And when he say that it's up to the citizen of America, it's less selflessness. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different way to see the work of selflessness here.
Yesterday, in his speech, I saw it played a couple times where he said, when we see ourselves in one another and the other,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was, you know, again, just like, check off. His checklist. Yeah, it was amazing. And today when he, at the luncheon, did you see
mm-hmm.
him, he spoke at the luncheon briefly
mm-hmm.
at the end, and it was like, the feeling that came up for me was this just like, wow, he's like, he is representing us, because he was saying, I know, we've told, the people have come together, and now it's time for us to do this, as he's talking to all the, you know, uppity-ups in the government, and saying, we are responsible to change this path as well. We have to do this because the people are calling us to do it. It was just like, yay, somebody in the room's thinking about us.
Yeah. So he tried to give us, you know, pleasant feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pleasant feelings when you see that. And when you have some of that kind of, the society have the pleasant feelings, then, you know, it's easy to come together when you have a pleasant feeling. For example, you come here, you have some kind of pleasant feeling. So it's easy to listen to each other when you are comfortable, when you are feel pleasant in yourself. You have the pleasant feeling is present in you, then it's easy to share, and involves the quality of openness. When you feel pleasant, then it's easy for you to open up. But if you feel unpleasant, then it's very easy for you to close yourself up also. So the, like the Buddha, I think he always feeling pleasant, so he's always open up to everyone. And once he's open up, and then we're able to enter his heart. So if when someone is open up, feeling pleasant and open up, and then you're easy to enter his or her heart easily. So feeling is one of the 51 mental formations. In the Buddhist traditions, there is 51 mental formations. So feeling is just one of that mental formations. And feeling is very important for us. How do you feel? Because feeling is part of it in every present moment, in every second. So the quality of feeling is depend on our quality of practice, of awareness. When your qualities of awareness is high, then the qualities of feeling pleasant is also high, present in you. And you can generate that. So that's why we come and practice to increase that kind of awareness and increase the pleasant feelings. So the Buddha is very smart when he say that everyone have the right to generate the feeling. Anyone have all sentient beings have the right that. So when we say everyone have the capacities to be a Buddha, so he means that everyone have that, this kind of feeling here. Is it? Because he's a direct experiment into that kind of a feeling. And other kind of feeling is like neutral feeling. Sometimes you don't feel like pleasant or you don't feel unpleasant.
Neutral.
So all this kind of feeling is inside us, you know. So, but as a practitioner, we try to to cultivate more of the pleasant feelings, the joys, the equanimities, you know, the four measurables, immeasurable. Loving kindness, the letting go. Letting go is another word for equanimity. Equanimity. So equanimity feeling in you. You don't feel. You look at the objects and you see clearly, but you don't put judgmental. Your judgment in that, you know, because we are very sensitive to our judgmental. Whatever we see, we put judgmental right away. So as a practice, we step back, just see the initial feeling. You know, when you first see, you don't put any label. But slowly, at the second moment, you put label in it. You know, this person have long hair, this person have black hair, this person wear eyeglasses. You put, and then we put judgment right away. Judgment into, and labeling into that. And when we label, then feeling rise. Either you feeling attached or not, or you feeling rejects. If you love, then you feel attached. And if you hate, you feel reject. So when you put label, but you see in our society, everything is label. You see that? Mm-hmm. And it's invoking our kind of judgmental right away. You see, all the things that we see is judgmental. Is labeling the table. We name it right away. If someone say that the table, and then you say, yeah, and you react right away. You say, you're wrong, right? right away. And when you say wrong, then you give rise to your feeling right away. Unpleasant feeling right away. You generate that kind of feeling right away. So the practice is to recognize that kind of reacting, that kind of labeling, And once you label, and then you have some kind of chatter in your head. You say silently, chatter in our head. It's always, it's like a river. Especially when you meditate, you chatter in your head. You chatter in your head. But this one, you have to practice and experience that, you know. And I see that a lot in myself. I do a lot of chatting when I meditate. And you can see that, you know. But some chatter is good, you know. Some chatter, if you, you know, like, you direct your mind into the positive quality. And that's the beginning. We try to do that. But slowly, we have to put to rest to our chatter. So, for example, when you anger, right, and then you chatter, you don't say it out loud, but you chatter, say, oh, anger in yourself, silently. So you chatter in yourself. But as you go further into, and you just recognize, you don't say it, you know it, you feel it in your body. Feel in your body. So at the beginning, we a lot of chatter in our mind. Feeling. But it's okay, you know, to recognize it and embrace it and say, I feel resentment, I feel sorrow. At least you can say that to yourself. When you say that, and then you're able to stop. But if you are very skillful practitioner, and you just say, oh, you know it, feel it, and you stop. But this kind of practice, you have to practice, otherwise you don't feel it. You have to practice, experience to yourself. So the important is to put the practice into applications. That's important. You can feel and see and experience that. And you can see the change in yourself, day by day, moving and moving. You can see the restlessness in you. The feeling of resonance in you. And you can change that every moment. Recognize and slow down. You have to slow down first. The energy of restlessness is very a lot in us. If nothing happened, then it's okay. But if something happened, you feel restless right away. Right away. Restless right away. So the practice, you have to practice so that when something happens, you can have the energy to recognize it. Otherwise, you're overwhelmed by that kind of energy, present energy right away. So you don't wait until that moment to practice, and it's too late. How can you practice at a moment? So that's why we practice every day, every moment. So I'm waiting for you to come, the restless to come, so that I can see. So the practice is... So when you practice and you've been prepared, without practice, how can you prepare yourself to a certain situation that come? You know, in life, any kind of situation can happen to us. You know, one member of our family happens something to them, and you feel crazy, you feel restless, and you feel agitated. Just a small thing happened. You already feel the energy of presence in you. For example, if you can unable to do the work, to finish the work, for example, cooking. You might be responsible for cooking today, and you don't cook, you don't prepare your cooking, and you feel some kind of presence push the energy of presence in you. That's very small, just a small thing. But be you able to calm down and say, oh, if I cannot finish today, I can ask for everybody help. See, that's just switch up your thinking. And I feel okay. I feel calm. And then you feel much easy feeling in you. So it's like the rest of the energy is like burning. It's kind of burning energies in you. It's because it's pushed. Have a push. The force in you to push, and to push you to be hurry, the quality of hurry, rush. So the practice is to generate the energy of calmness, and that both energies is in you, No, nothing else is not outside you. When the energy is outside, and then because everybody generates that kind of energy, so it's radiated out, and then it becomes a pushy energy externally. But first have to start with internally. If you go into the crowd and everyone was hurry, and you can feel that because that kind of energy is inside everybody. And when they have that kind of energy, and then it's radiated out, and you feel that. You can feel that energies. Mm. When you go to the party, you can feel different energy. Everybody was the energy of thirsty in different kind. Maybe I mean you might be thirsty for beer, but you know, people have different kind of thirsty, different kind of thirst. And it's push you in that direction. So you, in order to recognize, you have to be very strong. Strong practitioners, strong. Your energy of awareness have to be very strong. Otherwise you're going to be overwhelmed by the energy of the surrounding. So the environment is very also important, and to know or nourish all this kind of. The best way is to practice meditate. Meditate here doesn't mean that you have to sit on a cushion. You can meditate while walking meditation. You can sit in meditation in a chair. You can be meditate at the party. Who knows? You don't know. Nobody knows you meditate, right? Meditate here, you generate the energy of stability and the energies of calmness, so that you can see how people react and how yourself and your feelings is generated. So sitting meditation is one form, just only one. That's easy for us to cultivate the energies of concentrations when you sit. But when you become stronger, you have to use that in every move that you make. That's the best way of meditation. You can walk up to the stair and to the Buddha and you can meditate, you know. Because if you have you carry with you the energies of concentration in your feet, then nobody knows that. That's how the Buddha, he walked like months and months, one place to another, like we went to the place. So he walked meditation in that way. He meditated in that way. So when I go there, I know and you know, really see how the Buddha really practiced. And you practice in that way, you can generate all this kind of feeling, you know, the feeling of presence in you. You walk and you feel very pleasant. If you walk in the forest, you feel very calm. I like here because we have a lot of space, and I do a lot of walking meditation every day. You know, when I feel, I sit in my room, I feel the sun is out, I like to walk by myself. So that's why I like this space, you know, and nourishment. And in that way I can generate the pleasant feeling in me. One nun stay calm and she asked me, "Are you feeling boring here?" I say, "No, I'm boring. I like it." If you have the unpleasant feeling in you, then you don't like this place. Mm-hmm. I bet. Mm-hmm. Most of the day people are here and you have distract thinking. You can think all kind. You know, when you by yourself, you can think all kind of things coming. And you can become very destructive. Very destructive. So the environment at the same time can be very nourishing and can be very destructive. Sin by yourself, because you direct your thinking. So today I just want to talk about feelings, sensation under the categories of pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, mutual feelings. Because today I think it's a good day to talk about, because a lot of people are in, we had our present inaugurations, so a lot of people feel if the people don't like Obama, they feel unpleasant, right? When you can, when they hear his speech, right? And but if people like him and support him with an open heart, then feel some kind of pleasant feelings in them. And that is the fact. That's how our society feel. So we have, if we have a lot of people feel support, feel joy, feel pleasant, then we generate a good energy. And that energy is helping our healing our society. Because our society didn't have a lot of wounds because of the wars, because of the economic situations. And a lot of people have wounds, feel unpleasant. And once they feel unpleasant, they are wounded in the heart. And that kind of feeling can be destructive for themselves, but also affecting our society. As a, if the majority is feeling that way, and our society, how can our society be stand up and to go into the directions of growing? Because individual make up society. Individual feelings make up a collective society. Each of us is a small temple, a family is a middle, some bigger temple. Temple here is a temple of compassion, but can be a temple of resentment. And as a community, and then it's going to society. So American as a society, but we have a small group, we have a small sangha, and a small temple. And all different small sangha make up big communities. And all the communities coming together make up society. And so it's very important to make a small sangha healthy. Very important. And make and create an individual, healthy individuals, present individual. It's very important. So if we can do that, we are contribute our part to our society. We are part of society. But if we can do that, we are contribute to, in a destructive way, to our society also. So when a society is went wrong, we don't blame that, but we look at individual. We look at individual. If we build an individual good, then we will have a good society. That is many awakened people see. That's why they try to build themselves. The Buddha, he started as an individual. Right? As an individual, he make himself to become awake. Then slowly, and he have a small sangha at 5 ascetics, a practitioner, right? Small. And slowly move on. And with a community of practitioners, communities of awakening practitioner. And then it's affecting the whole society of India. And I think in the same way as in our American society today. So I think if we practice well as an individual, we will contribute our part to make our society better. So today I just want to share you with that, with my feeling of the inner questions, and parallels to the teaching of the Buddha. And because the teaching of the Buddha is something that's very interconnected with what is happening in present societies, present in society, individual. So when we study teaching of the Buddha in that way, we shine our light in that way, and become the practice become more practical. Something self transformation is the society transformation. So thank you very much for your listening. If you have any idea, you can share before we stop. Okay, so we stop here and take a break and we can do our sittings. Generate a little bit of good feelings and dedicate us to our new president and all the people in our societies.